It is the 200 level, Mike Carpenter in the basement on a Tuesday evening, and it is game week. Now, this is not always a week that Illini fans look forward to, or I should say look back fondly on, if you consider some of the disappointments in week ones, especially that run back in the early 2000s when Missouri had Illinois' number. I remember vividly going to three of those games and walking out disappointed from each of them, and I missed the worst one of all, which was the year after the Rose Bowl, or I'm sorry, 2009, when we got smoked by Missouri, and that was really the beginning of the end for the Ron Zook thing. Now, Mr. Goodwrench does mention on the Twitch feed, though, this is not week one. This is week zero, and actually, week zero has been great to Illinois, at least the one time we were part of week zero, and I was not there last year. And it kind of kills me that I missed that atmosphere for Brett Bielema's first game, though it was a very conscious choice. I was at a music festival where there was Dave Matthews Band one night, My Morning Jacket the other night. I was not going to miss that. And I've seen way too many Illinois football disappointments to fall for that again. Well, it turns out, at this festival in Lexington, the phone service was terrible. So we get into this festival, and I'm getting these spotty texts from my dad updating me on what's going on in the game. And every text that I got seemed to indicate that, hey, this is under control. So Illinois wins. It gets confirmed via text. I'm pumped. A good day gets even better. And it's not until that night at maybe 11 o'clock when I get back to my hotel in Lexington that I'm able to watch the condensed game on YouTube, like 60 minutes worth of stuff put together. Those condensed games are really good. And I don't know who does it, but they do a great job. Did a podcast the next morning, and I was feeling great about it, as I think we all were, and then UTSA happened 6 days later. Now, last year was topsy-turvy, as I guess should have been expected, though at the end of the day, I'm more optimistic after Brett Bielema's first year than pessimistic, and certainly I'm not really skeptical even. I think that this thing is trending in the right direction, and what I like about it is I don't think it's trending in the right direction in the way that we've seen before. Okay, take Ron Zook. That was very much strike lightning with the recruits that he got. Some of the Zook 03 guys turned out to be pretty damn good by the end of the day, like the Jay Laymans and the Kevin Mitchells of the world, among many others. And you put those star recruits and that surprising 03, 04 class from Ron Turner together for an 07 season that's one of the best I've ever seen. But the sustainability of it was in question. And that kind of goes back to what Ron Zook did at Florida. There's a reason he got fired from there, and maybe we could have seen it. And there were little kind of seeds of evidence throughout that 07 season that even though they went 9-3, there was the disappointment at Iowa, where you saw a completely winnable game against a very not-so-good Iowa team. And there goes one loss. The Missouri game, kind of a disappointing but still exciting start to that season. And then the Michigan game, I don't know. I think that was a couple miscues on special teams. That wasn't really anything on the coaching staff from what I can recall. But 08 let us know everything we needed to about Ron Zook. Now, I'm not going to compare the 2022 Illini to the 08 Illini, but I do think that similarly there is some optimism going into this season, and there was much more optimism going into the 08 season. It felt like we had arrived. I don't think anyone would say that Brett Bielema in Illinois has arrived yet, but I do think that we would say they are at least a team that others have to take seriously, even if it's solely based on the fact that, oh, wow, they got a good coaching staff. There's not many guys on this Illinois team that other Big Ten opponents are going to know the names of. Chase Brown, maybe, for a Big Ten fan that knows what they're talking about. Chase Brown is a name that they probably know. If you ask them, name a defender on Illinois, they might have some problems doing so, understandably. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. We're close to it, so therefore, we feel like there's enough talent there. And we're being told that there's enough talent. Not just by media people that we trust, but also the coaching staff. And because I trust the coaching staff, I'm going down that rabbit hole. I really am, and I'm starting to get bullish about this. I think this team could have a pretty good year, and I want to be clear about what pretty good would mean. 7-5, to me, is really good. 6-6 is still pretty good. When you consider what he inherited after Lovie Smith and what he's trying to build, I think just making a bowl game, period, is a very successful season. When I went with the 7-5 last week, and I'm still reflecting, is that too much? Is that too crazy? I would not, this might sound like I'm kind of being contradictory here. I would not put $100 on Illinois going 7-5 this year. I would consider putting $100 on them going 6-6 and maybe $20 on them going 7-5 because I recognize there are breaks that need to happen for something like that to come to fruition. But I'm also thinking that this is the kind of coaching staff that last year when things went well, it was because the team wasn't making mistakes. They got just enough plays to win, and they also found ways to win despite a terrible offensive coordinator and really bad quarterbacking. That will hamstring any team. You lost some other players, no doubt, but overall, you return a lot of key contributors. The continuity with the coaching staff, you feel pretty good about that on the defensive end, and the new offensive coordinator, you feel good about that. So, long story short, not to be too long-winded, things will have to go right, of course, for this team to go 7-5. I just feel like this coaching staff coaches in such a way where they create their own opportunities and, more importantly, they don't get in their own way as much as other coaching staffs do, especially in the Big Ten West. Now, Whipple, I see in the Twitch stream that we have a question from you I'm going to hit up right after the sponsors. I want to do that real quick. The 200 level is brought to you by DP Dough online at dpdough.com. All the best deals and prices at dpdough.com. These guys are the best. They've been in business for about 16 years in campus town. I remember it well when I was a sophomore or junior on campus. But here's the deal. Even if you are not a student, DP Dough delivers anywhere in Champaign-Urbana. So whether it's a business lunch or maybe Saturday evening, a celebratory calzone after Illinois starts 1-0 in impressive fashion, no less. dpdough.com. That's dpdough.com. Also got to thank Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Cody and the guys up there in Paxton, they are really good at what they do, and we are going to make them our furnace and air conditioning guys. And if any plumbing issues happen, same thing. So don't let the Paxton location fool you. These guys actually serve Champaign, Urbana, St. Joe, Mahomet, you name it, anywhere in this area. And I can tell from reviews that I've read, whether it be Google, Yelp, you name it, and also actually going to the place and meeting these guys, these are people you can trust. And I got to be honest, I don't know a darn thing about HVAC or plumbing. I prefer to leave it in the hands of experts. That's what they got there at Dogtown Heating and Air. You can get 6% off your furnace check by just mentioning the 200 level. It's going to get colder sooner than you realize, so go online and find Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Give them a call and get a furnace check today. Mention us. 6% off because they think Illinois is going to win 6 games this year. I agree. Also, Rector Construction online at RECTORConstruction.com for all your home exterior projects. And even in the winter, these guys can do projects. So don't let the fact that December and January are coming up in the next few months dissuade you from getting a free quote from the guys at Rector Construction. Great craftsmen. Excellent customer service, and they are really good stewards for Champaign-Urbana. They've been giving back to this community since they got started, and I think you should go online to rectorconstruction.com. That was one of the weaker endings to a live read. Jason and the guys at Rector Construction, my apologies for that. rectorconstruction.com for a free estimate today. Finally, State Farm agent Brian Hansen online at brianismyguy.com. He's our guy. Homeowners and auto, he should be your guy as well. Great State Farm prices, and Brian is just top-notch guy and someone you can trust. With insurance, I prefer to trust the individual that I'm giving my money to, and we just re-upped with him for the third year in a row, and he's our guy. What can I say? So go online to brianismyguy.com. All right, Champaign Showers Podcast Network, I'm repping them here on my chair, and Illini Inquirer. There we go. Geez, guys, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm off to a rocky start here, forgetting the live reads and stumbling over words. Okay, now, because we are live, if I need to take a drink of something, then there is a pause beginning now. Okay, there we go. Now, there's a lot to get to today. It is game week, as Bobo says. Hello, Bobo. Good to see you again. One of our loyal viewers on Twitch. Whipple, I want to get to your question before I get to a few other things. I got some quotes from Brett Bielema I want to get to about the season at large, and then we will get into some Wyoming conversation. We will talk about our opponent, a respectable program out of the Mountain West. And finally, I'm going to touch briefly on the other game of note, Week 0. It's not the best docket of games, but there is Nebraska and Northwestern at 12:30 on Saturday. I am inordinately looking forward to a game that might be terrible. It's in Dublin, but for some reason, I'm kind of excited about it. Whipple asks, other than the win, of course, what else are you going to be looking for this weekend? I don't think, Whipple, that I'm going to be moving the goalpost much from where I was week zero last year. I use this phrase, consistent competence. And after the Nebraska game, and of course, it was only on rewatch that I was able to see how it unfolded, but I saw consistent competence. Despite a pretty rough first quarter, it was overall a well-played game by Illinois. Yeah, Nebraska blew plenty of opportunities. They missed open wide receivers. You could argue they lost that game as much as Illinois won it, but for a week zero game, you know, that's kind of to be expected. So I saw a competent football team in a way that Lovie Smith was not putting on the field. Now, consistent competence to me for this team in year two would mean you do find your way to six wins. I mentioned last week that five wins by no means would I consider a failure. It would be a disappointment, a mild disappointment, but I do think anything less than five wins, even more so. Now, I want to get to that real quick. I took a poll on our 200 level Twitter, specifically about how many wins you think this team is going to get. And I'm not alone in optimism for this team in this season. One thing of note, though, if you're a 200 level listener, chances are you are like a hardcore fan and you're really kind of following the two deep and all these other sorts of factors. And the casual fan, a conversation I had with a friend's dad, who actually he helps out with the go-karts, the golf carts that go around the parking lots, helping older people get in the stadium. I just had a conversation with him Saturday. He's not optimistic like I am. He's got plenty of years of Illinois football that have told him and trained him to prepare for the worst. So I get it. But I feel like, God, is this a double-edged sword? Like, I'm closer to it, so therefore I'm more optimistic. But the inverse could be argued as well. If we're closer to it, shouldn't we be more skeptical of it? But regardless, the poll that I put up is this. How many games will Illinois win this year? Simple. Got over 100 votes. We had four or less, five, six, or seven or more. Not many people feel that it's going to be four or less. So 5.7% said four or less is the win total. I would be very disappointed with four or eight, and definitely worse than that. It would be very disappointing. Five and seven, 33%. 50% of the respondents said six and six. I take it. I think that's totally reasonable. 11.3% are bullish like I am. Seven or more. I don't know how many people necessarily think eight or nine. I don't know if anyone would really go over that ceiling of seven. So many things would have to go right for that. But Mr. Goodwrench mentions here in the chat feed that most of Illinois athletics has trained us to feel that way, to be honest, in regards to, yeah, my friend's dad that said he's not really feeling it this year. I totally understand that. Real quick, Bobo, Aaron Judge just hit his 48th home run. The one good thing the Yankees have going right now. They've been terrible for the last couple weeks, but he has been incredible. So as we get into this first week, consistent competence in week zero is something that I want to see against a Wyoming team that has lost a lot. We'll get into that Wyoming team and why you should beat them and beat them handily. I don't need 49 to nothing. What I need to see is that from the first kickoff and until the final whistle, you just outclass them. The final score is not necessarily the big indicator of that. Go back to the Wisconsin game last year. I think it was 28 to nothing. Maybe 31 to nothing, 31 to three. We've seen worse blowouts, but if we're being honest, that was one of the most paltry Illinois performances ever. Wisconsin completely dominated from the word go. I'll take a 31 to 10 win depending on how it looks. So eye test, I think, Whipple, is part of what I'm looking for in week zero. And if we're going to get down to individuals, I need to see a quarterback, to borrow a phrase from Trevor as we were texting earlier today. As long as he can just mediocrely, if that's a word, throw the ball downfield or make a forward pass. Because if we're being honest, Brandon Peters had a hard time doing that at points last year. I don't want to drag a guy down, but let's not forget how bad the quarterbacking was last year. There were factors as to why that was. Tony Peterson didn't help. The quarterbacks didn't help either. And other than Art Sitkowski against Nebraska, what was your best quarterbacking performance? I guess the Northwestern game was a really good way to go out. And yeah, Minnesota first half for Brandon Peters, Iowa, there were moments. Really the last half of the year, maybe he started to come on a bit. But overall, as long as Tommy DeVito is just a little better And that's what I want to see against Wyoming. Yes, it's his first game, but he is a veteran quarterback. He's been around the block. And will this offensive coordinator be able to put him in positions to succeed? Bobo mentions it was just 24-0. And it sure didn't feel that way when Wisconsin came in here last year. It felt like 42-0. It felt as bad as almost, in a way, maybe not. Maybe I'm overdoing this. 63-0 Iowa in Lovie Smith's third year. That's how bad it was. So I don't need the final score to be some crazy blowout. I just want to feel, from watching it in the stadium, my dad and I are going in, from watching in the stadium, that I'm watching a team that is just ready to go. And that we don't need to give up the entire playbook. You got a Big Ten game 6 days later. You should be able to just do your thing and the basics of your thing, get the win, look pretty good doing it, feel good. Oh, and one other thing, Whipple, just don't get hurt. Nobody get hurt. And then to me, that'd be a successful week. I'll make a prediction before we get out of here. Not that scores, I just said scores really don't matter, but hell, they're fun. So we'll do that at the end of it. Now, because it is game week, and look at me, I'm actually preparing, I'm doing show prep. Brett Bielema met with the media, along with Josh Whitman, to talk about the Big Ten media deal, along with Ryan Walters and Barry Lunny Jr. I went with some quotes here from Brett Bielema that I thought really stood out. Now, the bullishness that I have for this team is a direct result of not just some of the media that follows this team feeling somewhat optimistic about their chances, but also what the actual head coach is saying. Brett Bielema, to me, kind of like a Brad Underwood, is a fairly straight shooter. I think in some ways even more of a straight shooter than Brad, because while I love Brad Underwood as a coach, there were times in year one and year two where he would use hyperbole to the point where I got a little sick of it, right? Well, it's all good now, Brad. You can say whatever you want to. I'm all in on Brad Underwood, and I'm really this close to being all in on Brett Bielema. 6-6 or 7-5 year, I'm hitched. I'm good. So this is Brett Bielema on the overall vibe heading into week zero. Quote, "There's a really good buzz going with our players. Buzz doesn't actually equate to wins, but I do like the excitement, the energy, just the general feel of what our guys are doing. There are so many little indicators for me as a head coach. A year ago, you guys had asked me, how do you feel? Is it different from the spring? There's definitely just been a consistent evolution to get to where we are right now. I couldn't be more excited. I've been doing this for quite a while as a head coach. I believe I'm going to my 14th year, and just to see what I've seen happen since last fall, when we got done through the portal process, through spring ball, fall camp, and now to get into game week, there hasn't been a time, this is the key point, there hasn't been a time where I've been more excited. I'm talking after winning a Big Ten championship and projections to win one. This group of guys is very special, and I think it's going to be one of those types of years." Huh? Okay. All right. That's not exactly dissuading me from being bullish on this team. Kind of putting yourself out there. Now, Brett Bielema could go 4-8 or 3-9 even. He's not going to lose his job. So he can say these things, and there aren't really repercussions. He can say these things, of course, to try to sell the program, and he talks about that later on. But to say there hasn't been a time where I've been more excited. He went through a camp with Russell Wilson, and there hasn't been a time he's been more excited? I mean, there are intangible things that are at play sometimes with teams. There are these weird sort of circumstances that all come together at the right time. Fourth and fifth year guys that for whatever reason they come on when they know it's their last hurrah. And it seems like there is that kind of mix of talent on both sides of the ball where a few injuries could derail this thing. But you could say that for a lot of teams. And a few surprise breakout performers could really elevate this team to a potential 7-5 season. I don't think what Brett Bielema is saying is that outlandish. I do think that him mentioning it's the most excited he's been is, I don't know. That's a big old matzo ball out there. Bobo has a follow-up to how I was mentioning the quarterbacking last year was so bad. Only four games last year with 200-plus passing yards. UTSA. You know, Art Sikowski was fine against UTSA, really. Virginia, Iowa, and Northwestern. Ugh, the Virginia game. Yikes. Four games with 80 or less passing yards. Charlotte, Wisconsin, Penn State, Minnesota. You know, there was a game in there, Bobo, that was somewhere in between the Rutgers game, where yet again, just terrible quarterbacking. I absolutely abhorred that game. Okay. Bielema on the overall vibe tells me, wow, okay, things are feeling good over there. Now, you could remember older Illini fans, Ron Turner saying, I like the look in their eye. Do you remember that? I do. I'm sure Ron Zook had a few of those moments as well. Overall, though, that's something I'm going to take a little bit of stock in. Bielema on the starting quarterback. Bobo mentions all those terrible stats from last year. Bielema says, I know who the starting quarterback is. The starting quarterback knows who the starting quarterback is, and the team knows that. I think our guys understand the value of these first games, what allows us to do, and I think we learned firsthand that sometimes to show up game day and let everyone see the University of Illinois unfold for the first time in reality is a good thing. So we'll kind of stick to that messaging. It's Tommy DeVito. I would assume Wyoming is preparing as such, but there is value in not just saying it because they're going to spend maybe a little more time than they need to scouting Art Sitkowski. With Tommy DeVito, there are enough unknowns because this is a new system for him, and the injuries, don't want to say derailed his career at Syracuse, but kind of put a pause on all the promise he had. He had a better season at Syracuse than Brandon Peters ever had at Michigan, and that may not be a fair comparison because Michigan's big boy football and Syracuse, depending on the weekend or the year, I don't know. I wouldn't really call them big boy football, at least not to the level of Michigan. But it's Tommy DeVito. And where Tommy DeVito goes, and this goes for many teams at their quarterback position, so goes the team. This is where I think things get very 200 level-y, very fanboy-y. Bielema talks about the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium. And let's be honest, maybe 35, 38,000 tops on Saturday. If it breaks the 40,000 threshold, I would be shocked. I don't know if Nebraska got that many. Maybe Nebraska got more than I thought last year, but most home openers against blah opponents, no offense, Wyoming, even though, why am I wearing Wyoming colors today? I got a yellow shirt and it's got like brown lettering. Why am I doing that? Regardless, I think we will see plenty of empty seats in the stadium on Saturday. I hope that if they start 2-0, which I think they can and frankly should, that the Virginia game, maybe we can make a push for 45, maybe 50 with some ticket promotions for students, because it's not Labor Day weekend. There's the benefit of being after Labor Day weekend. But Bielema was asked about the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium. Long quote here. I tried to keep what I thought were the most important parts, but here we go. Quote, I've learned this through my years as a head coach. I obviously don't have the ticket manager title in my resume, but I realize very, very much. And I remind our players and our coaches every day, people will come and support what they're proud of and what they enjoy watching. Even though I'm not directly in charge of ticket sales, I'm directly responsible for what kind of crowd we get. Accountability, I like that. It continues. The product we put on the field is what I think people want to be proud of. They want to come to see something that's entertaining. Sorry, get my blue light glasses on here. Ugh. I'm not revealing too much, but I think offensively, defensively, and special teams, this will be an environment and a game that people will be excited to watch. We played our best football when we were on the road in front of big crowds. I think last year when we played in that Nebraska game, we were really willed in the second half to play well because of the crowd and the environment they saw. It was only at maybe half or two-thirds the capacity of what it can be. I've been in the stadium on the other sideline when it's roaring full go. I'm guessing he's talking about the Rose Bowl year. So I know how great it can be. If we can get to a point where we can fill Memorial Stadium because of the product we put on the field, we'll be in a great spot. Bobo, thank you for this. Attendance for the Nebraska-Illinois game, 41,000. Yeah, 35, 37, I think, for this Wyoming game is probably fair. We had so many conversations on 93.5 about this. I'm sure that I've talked about it here on the 200 level as well. I have an issue with college football in general. It's too damn long. This is the old man yells at cloud thing. It is too damn long. I don't like to be in any place for 3.5 hours. I like some longer movies, but even 2001 A Space Odyssey, 2.5 hours long. There Will Be Blood, 2.5 hours long. If it stretches that much longer than that, please have an intermission. Used to be back in the day, and this is old school fans right here. Used to be back in the day, you could leave at halftime, go back out to the tailgate, get a drink, get a snack, whatever it may be, and then come back in. Well, 9/11 was actually the exact thing that changed that. You couldn't leave the stadium after 9/11 because that's what we would do. we'd go out there. My dad would have a beer, and we'd maybe make a sandwich or something. We'd miss the first 5 minutes of the third quarter because halftime is so freaking long anyways. So that is my old man yells at cloud thing. College football is too long, and this is not an Illinois-specific phenomenon that less people are going to games. It is not specific to this campus. Also, it's the history. There's not the history, I should say, that would draw people no matter what. I do think it can be a quick change. I think it can be a very quick turnaround. There were enough moments last year, specifically UTSA, I think that did a number on attendance for the rest of the year. If they had started 2-0, because the UTSA game, it wasn't a great turnout. I'm guessing in Bobo, if you got the numbers maybe, it might have still been like 35,000. But leaving the UTSA game, even I thought, oh my God, why do I bother coming to these things? Why? And from then on, I did not step foot back in that stadium. Not out of some protest, but because we had a big-ass TV at the tailgate. So why would I saunter into the stadium? And I'm not a beer drinker. I mix my own drinks. I got to get creative if I want to do that in the stadium. Why not just stay at the tailgate and watch it there and hang out with friends and go to the bathroom when you want? The dog can come over. Kara can bring Rosie over in the second half. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't do that in the stadium. And the UTSA game was debilitating for me, at least personally. I thought, good God, one step forward, eight steps back. Now, UTSA had a decent year. They did. But that still sucked, if we're being honest. I am going to go to the Wyoming game. If they go 2-0, well, I'm going to go to the Virginia game unless they're 0-2. But if they're 2-0, there's going to be some major excitement in there. Oh, my God. Bobo says UTSA was 33,900. Yikes. But it can change quickly. I really do think so. There are opportunities if this team starts off well. 4-0? Is that a pipe dream? It's not a pipe dream, but it's possible. 3-1, I'm sorry, but 3-1 needs to happen. If I'm being bullish on this team, 3-1 is what you got to do in the first four games. That affords you a loss to Indiana or Virginia. You can take that on the road against Indiana or Virginia at home. You can't take both. Chattanooga at the end of September, and then you get two home games in October. Iowa and Minnesota, right? I think that's right. Iowa, Minnesota. And then the November games are Michigan State and Purdue. I think that's correct. Regardless, if you can somehow go into the Iowa game, I mean, the Iowa game will draw, whether that's homecoming or not. I think homecoming might be the Minnesota game. The Iowa game will draw, and if you're somehow 3-1 or 4-0, you will sell 50,000 plus tickets. I can't say sell out. I'd love to see them make some crazy Mike White era effort to pack the stands by any means necessary for that Iowa game. And they will travel as well. Iowa will bring 4,000 or 5,000 fans, no problem. But that right there, what I will give, just sort of like last basketball season, we had these certain games that we circled, including the last game of the year. Just give me to that Iowa game with a chance to win the Big Ten title. Well, for football, I got much more meager expectations. Get me to the Iowa game, 4-0, that's a lot I know, or 3-1. And that's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. The other attendance numbers last year, Bobo, thank you for this. Maryland was 37,000. Charlotte was 30,000. Those mid-season non-conference games, no one cares. Rutgers, 36, and Northwestern, 27. Wow. I was in Michigan for the Northwestern game. The Thanksgiving weekend always kills that. Hell of an effort. I loved watching that game on TV. I enjoyed watching a few games on TV, but as Brett Bielema made reference to, more of those were on the road. The Penn States and the Minnesotas of the world. All right, that's my spiel on crowd. I get why people don't go because I myself often don't go. I'm going to try to be a better fan with that this year. But here's the other thing, too. I don't think that we should be in the business of trying to sell people to get into a stadium. I already laid out why people would say, you know what, I got other things to do on a Saturday afternoon than spend, if we're being real here, from the minute you leave your tailgate car to when you get back, if you want to be in there for the full game and get your money's worth for the ticket, then it's a four-hour commitment. Too damn long. The NFL has it right. When the Bears were in town, games from kickoff to when it ended, 3 hours. That's the NFL. They have it down to a science. College football is so far up its own ass, especially the officials, where you can't get out of the stadium. These games seemingly never end, and it's maddening. That's why I love that this Illinois team is going to run the ball a lot. They're going to have a good defense, and it is more conducive to the potential three-hour game. You know what my favorite game of the Lovie Smith era was? I wasn't here for the Wisconsin kick that won it. Purdue the following week was a 2.5 hour game in the rain. 2.5 hours, and you won 20-10. That's my favorite Lovie Smith game. I love any game that's 2.5 hours. All right. Carp, calm down. Sorry, that just gets me a little fired up. All right. This I thought was interesting. Bielema was asked about the new targeting rule where you can appeal a targeting call. I think that's great. Now, don't worry. The officials will still find a way to screw this up. But this is Bielema, not just about the new rule, but really about targeting in general. He says, quote, "The one issue I have is the individual targeting. There's targeting that happens on purpose, like kids do it and they know it. It's the unintentional targeting that removes a kid from a game. I still have a hard time removing someone because there's only 12 guaranteed opportunities. Our game is so limited in the number of opportunities that they get that I feel bad when a kid puts himself in a situation that maybe targeting occurred, but he didn't go into the play with the idea to do that. It was just kind of a bam, bam, and they called it. That's the one I struggle with. Brett, doggone it, me too. I hate it. And even for opposing teams, even if it goes in the favor of Illinois, I don't like the targeting rule. And I know it's under the guise of player safety, yada, yada. It's a dangerous game. Concussions are still happening, probably just as much as they have before. And while I think you can kind of tell when it's intentional and kind of tell when it's not, God, who was the headhunting safety back in the day that played for the Patriots? He played for the Bears one year. Merriweather? Brandon Merriweather, right? He was just known for being dirty. You knew what he was doing out there at safety. Most of the time, that's not the case. And I think it should just be a 15-yard penalty. Fine. And kicking a kid out of a game for that, I hate it. I agree with him. 12 opportunities, and then this idea that if it's in the second half, you got to set up the first half of the next game. It's almost like if you're going to get your targeting, do it the last second of the first half to really maximize, or I should say minimize, the time that you're out. Okay. Now let's get to Wyoming. It is week zero. We got an opponent to talk about. I'm going to tell you what Bielema said about Wyoming. I'm going to give you a preview that Athlon wrote about Wyoming because I don't know a whole heck of a lot about them. All right. Bielema says a couple things. I think defensively they're very long if you look at their numbers. I look at matchups all the time. As a head coach, I formulate an idea during the course of our preparation on how I think the game will be played based off of what I see. I think their defensive line is long. I know they have some linebackers, especially the ones that got drafted in the third round. The one that got drafted in the third round. Really good players. Active guys. They put a lot on them. They had transfer and turnover, so a lot of it out, but also a lot of it in. I've had to evaluate players that are playing other schemes to see how they'll fit into what they're doing. Offensively, there's some carryover to kind of what we do. But their system, their quarterback kind of drives the whole thing. Their biggest challenge right now that I don't know as of right now is who is their quarterback. I know they know it right now, but that's going to be the biggest thing for us to unfold on Saturday defensively. How are they going to play? What's going to be the emphasis? Who are their playmakers? Well, Brett, I read the Athlon preview of Wyoming, predicted to be fifth in the Mountain West. Decent little conference, not bad. 97th out of 133 teams in the country, or 131, one of the two. Illinois, by comparison, 69. Nice. The Cowboys have won at least 6 games in each of the last 5 full years under Craig Bohl, their coach. But getting back to that level in 2022 is not going to be easy. Wyoming averaged only 17.5 points in Mountain West play last fall, and they lost quarterbacks Sean Chambers and Levi Williams to transfer. Utah State transfer Andrew Peasley and junior college product Evan Svoboda will battle into the fall for the starting job. While the receiving corps needs a new number one target to emerge after Isaiah Nair transferred to Texas. Wow, he must have been good. Provided an offensive line with just one returning starter is solidified, the ground game should be a strength behind running back Titus Swen. Defense is usually a strength in Laramie, and Bowles' group should be stingy again despite some turnover. Easton Gibbs looks like the next star linebacker, with Chad Muma Muma off to the NFL, and a couple transfers. Ja'Cory Hawkins and Darren Harrell were added to solidify the secondary. Improvement against the run, listen close, 11th in the Mountain West in 21 is needed. Here's what my takeaways are with that Athlon preview. Thank you, Athlon. Nice website. 11th in the Mountain West in rushing defense tells me Illinois is not really going to get too crazy on offense. A few wrinkles that Wyoming won't have on tape from last year's Illinois team, of course. But for the most part, run the ball. And what I, you know, Whipple, you asked me earlier, what am I looking for? I'm looking for the offensive line to dominate and the running backs to have clear lanes all day. This should be a ground control to Major Tom. No, ground control, ball control, time of possession, butte, where you have the ball for 38 minutes, you run the ball for 240 yards, the game's never in doubt because they just can't stop you running. And why should they? They're replacing a bunch of guys on defense, and maybe they got some talent that came in, but I'm sorry, even if they brought in a few Power 5 transfers, which I'm not sure if they did, then you're still better. You're more talented. The offensive line for this Illinois team, depth is going to be an issue yet again, but I hope that in year two, the continuity, I know Ben Miller is still out, right, dealing with some health issues, but that they've been with Bielema, especially over these last 2 years, a guy that knows how to coach offensive line, I got to think they'll be as good as last year's offensive line. And as the year went on, they got better and figured out how to run block. So you should not have a problem running. You just shouldn't. And because of that, move the chains, let Tommy DeVito make the occasional pass that a Brandon Peters could not do consistently last year. And this should not be much of a game. Which leads me to the prediction. Actually, I'll get to the prediction in a bit. Bobo did a quick breakdown of the schedule. And I'll do one final record prediction. I will solidify, I will lock in my record prediction. Bobo for the home games reminds us that it's Wyoming, Virginia, Chattanooga, Iowa, Minnesota, MSU, and Purdue. It is a 7 home game year. As it is for most Big Ten teams, it just depends on if you get 4 or 5 Big Ten home games. In this case, you get 4. Wyoming, Chattanooga, you will win. That's 2. Between Virginia, Iowa, Minnesota, MSU, and Purdue, the question is, can you get 2 more? Between, let me say that again, Virginia, Iowa, Minnesota, MSU, and Purdue, can you get 2 more to stay on track with a potential 6-1 season? I think you can. I think that would be Virginia, and I think that would be Purdue. Then you got the Iowas and Minnesotas, toss-up games. MSU, are they going to be as good as last year? No. Can you win 5 home games of those 7? Yes. But let's be somewhat conservative and say 4. If we're trying to find a path to a bowl game, let's say 4. And a chat window, you let me know if this sounds reasonable or not. 4-3 at home, right? Leaving these 5 road games. Indiana, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan, Northwestern. There are 2 what I would call basically surefire losses on the schedule. I'm not going to get lulled into thinking we're going to beat Wisconsin. I'm not going to do that. We aren't. It's not going to happen. And if we do, I'll be over the moon. Wisconsin and Michigan are losses. I don't love Nebraska. But I also don't love the idea of winning at Nebraska. I think that they are due, for lack of a better term, to finally beat Illinois. And they have enough talent to just be weird in a game and get the win in very frustrating fashion. So I actually think those are 3 losses on the road, but I like Indiana Northwestern. I think you get 2 wins on the road for sure. And hey, if past history is any indication for Brett Bielema, you're going to get a surprise road win. What that tells me is I have 2 surefire home wins. I have 2 surefire road wins. And there are 5 toss-ups at home outside of the 2 surefire wins. I think you get 2 of those. But if things are going to be a little bit better, I think you get 3. One of those road games like Nebraska, I mean, that's technically a toss-up. All of this is to say there are 2 surefire losses on the schedule. Wisconsin and Michigan. I would put Michigan State next as most likely loss, and I put Iowa after that. But there is going to be a random win this year. And if somehow that random win doesn't need to offset a bad loss and it can just exist as a good win, because think about it, Penn State kind of offset, let's say, I don't know, the Maryland debacle at home when you should have won that game, or the loss to Purdue. Winning at Penn State 9 overtimes kind of offset that at the time. And then what did you do? You lost to Rutgers. Oh, and then you won at Minnesota, kind of offset that. I don't want to get in the business of big wins offsetting bad losses. I want to get in the business of big wins standing on their own and not having to make up for a way that you screwed up earlier. And if we're really being honest, and I know I say that way too much, but if we're being honest, you lost the Maryland and the Purdues of the world and the Rutgers of the world because your offense stunk and you had bad quarterbacking. Just give me, as it was said earlier, Stephen Colbert 27, a good defense and just an average offense would be an improvement. Yes, that's doable. I feel good about that. And Stephen Colbert 27 says, path to a bowl game, it's wide open. It is wide open. Okay. This is Bobo. You are like the stat master. You are digging up these amazing details. I was talking about length of games. Other than the PSU game, five games were just over 3 hours and 30 minutes. Hey, I'm fine with the PSU game going damn near 4 hours. That was a blast. That was so much fun. If all college football games are like that, they can go 4 hours every time. Okay, so that means half of the games were 3.5 hours or more. And four of those were the first four games of the season. Now, Bobo, this intrigues me. You say four games between 3:10 and 3:20. That's 3 hours and 10 minutes, 3 hours and 20 minutes. The Wisconsin game was 2:56. Why? Because they ran the darn ball. And we couldn't do anything, but that was a ball control game. Are we going to do what Wisconsin did to other teams this year? Maybe not to that degree, but somewhat. And I do think that's the template. I think this team might be conducive to quicker games. We'll find out, though. Yeah, Bobo, you're killing it, man. All right. Before we get out of here, there is one other Week Zero game that we can talk about very briefly. Nebraska Northwestern is just hilarious. I dislike both programs wholeheartedly. Whenever someone tells me, you know, oh, Nebraska fans are so nice, and that's fine, but it just sounds like we're trying to find something redeemable about Nebraska being in the Big Ten when I have a hard time finding that. They've been a complete atrocity to this Big Ten since they've gotten in there. Their football program is why we brought them in, and they can't win football games. Works for Illinois in the Big Ten West, but they... They have one feather in their cap for me, one, and I think you guys can probably guess. Fred Hoiberg, thank you for helping deliver a Big Ten title to Champaign. It was that incredible game at Wisconsin last year that I will always be indebted to Fred Hoiberg. Other than that, Nebraska, you stink, though you're very nice. Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, that whole thing, what's been so maddening about it is knowing in our heart of hearts that he's not that good. Like, he's pretty good, but he's not that good. And the 9-3 seasons don't take away from the fact that he has a few 3-9s in there. And it's Northwestern. He can keep that job as long as he wants. Part of me thinks I just want him to stay there because maybe we finally got a coach who knows how to beat him. Why is my brain telling me? Is it my brain or my gut? I can't tell. But something's telling me that Northwestern beats Nebraska Saturday. In just the most comical Scott Frost, this is your year, you got to do something, and he starts off with a loss in Dublin, the game that thank God we didn't have to go play. Ugh, what silly idea from the start. Thank God it didn't happen. One of the benefits of COVID. I know that sounds terrible, but it's true. And I can just picture Northwestern winning 17-13 because Nebraska just pees down their leg again. And I'm really excited to watch that game. It's probably going to be a comedy of errors. It's not going to be a beautiful game. I just think it's funny. Nebraska, Northwestern, in Dublin. I don't know why I find it so comical, but it is. All right. Before I get out of here, season prediction and Wyoming prediction. I'll do the Wyoming prediction first. I think Illinois comes out. They run the ball effectively. I think the defense keeps Wyoming to, 13 points or so. Defense is going to be good this year. I feel really, really good about Ryan Walters. I like the style of defense that they play. And now that these guys have been in the system, that was a completely different defense after the Wisconsin game. We saw a few nuggets like at Purdue maybe that showed you it was building. But after the Wisconsin game, that defense really solidified. A lot of those guys are back and some really key guys. They're going to be healthy at least in week zero, and I think that will lead to a 13 points or less for Wyoming. And for Illinois, I think they score 38. I'm going 38-13, Illinois on Saturday to start off 1-0, 38-13. Can you bet on Illinois and Illinois yet? Have they changed that law? Because if so, I will put money in my gambling account, and I will hit Illinois minus 10 hard. In fact, I would do one of those teasers and bump it all the way up to like Illinois minus 21. I would do that. 38-13, Illinois wins. As for the season, not that this matters, because what, if they go 5-7, it happens. But 7-5, I'm going 7-5, with the key win of the year being Iowa. That being the win, along with the ones that you should get in Wyoming, Chattanooga, Indiana, Northwestern, that's four, Iowa being the big swing game, and then some mix of two wins between, what, Virginia, Minnesota, Purdue, you know, somewhere in there. But Iowa being the big win at home in early October, that really tells us this team is pretty solid. Bobo with one final stat here. Illinois had eight games last season with over 150 rushing yards, two games with under 100, 26-64. Bobo, by chance, do you know what the games under 100? Wisconsin was one of them. I feel like that was the 26-yard rushing game. The 64-yard or the other under 100, Wisconsin and what was another bad game last year? Virginia? Did he not rush well against Virginia? I'm intrigued by that. As Bobo digs that up, I want to thank you guys for joining us on Twitch tonight. I appreciate it. I hope it sounds okay. We got an actual direct feed going in there. And no, Bobo says we cannot bet on Illinois teams. Darn it! Come on, Josh Whitman. Okay, Wisconsin and at Iowa were the two games last year where Illinois did not get 100 yards. Okay. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you that we are brought to you by DP Dough, online at dpdough.com for all the best deals and prices. dpdough.com. Have a celebratory calzone Saturday after Illinois beats Wyoming. That's dpdough.com. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Give them a call today to get a furnace check scheduled and mention the 200 level. Get 6% off your service because they, along with me, think Illinois is going bowling this year. They think six wins. I think maybe more. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Great guys out of Paxton that serve anywhere in East Central Illinois. Rector Construction, online at rectorconstruction.com for all your home exterior needs. These guys are the best. rectorconstruction.com. Get a free quote today at Rector Construction. And finally, State Farm agent Brian Hansen. He's my guy. Let him be your guy as well. Brian Hansen, brianismyguy.com. I'll probably see him in the lots on Saturday. Maybe I'll see you. I'll be in the middle-ish of the lot in Illinois and a Michigan State green with the white S flag. So we can represent our household, a house divided. Can't wait for the Michigan State game. We got a bunch of people coming in November for that. And that will be the way we can mark our Illini flag with something unique. There will be a Michigan State flag underneath that. Irish, RX93, says, this is my first time tuning in the Twitch stream. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for the content. Thank you, Irish. And thank you. I know these crews are a little bit smaller early in the year before we get the post game or the second half reaction Twitches, but we'll do them anyways. And the next one, I'd say Saturday night, but if we're being real, I will probably be feeling okay on Saturday night, meaning I don't necessarily want to be three sheets to the wind or how many sheets to the wind when I do a podcast. So Sunday morning at some time, I'll come down here, maybe a little bleary-eyed, maybe a little disheveled, but with a cup of coffee and ready to discuss Illinois' 1-0 start. Want to again thank the sponsors, Illini Inquirer, Champagne Showers Podcast Network, represented here. They get the great spot by my thighs. I'm sorry for the running shorts. I should maybe rethink that strategy. Anyways, Twitch stream, YouTube viewers, be sure to subscribe to us there. We're gradually building that up. All the podcast listeners, we appreciate your support. It is game week. Let's get to it. In the meantime, hey, stay safe, stay healthy. And we'll see you Sunday for a post-Illinois-Wyoming 200 level.